It is time for the Winter Games out of Beijing, and in a big deal for NBC, and a lot going on, and including some of the stuff this weekend with the mogul events, men's and women's, and some of the other stuff, as well as some great American skiers. And Dan Egan's one of those folks. He's covered the Olympics nationally and internationally, and has a home in New Hampshire and also out west where he does a lot of skiing. He kind of put extreme skiing on the map in the Warren Miller movies. He's been on the show before with his recent book, but he joins us with some expert Olympic custom preview coverage and actual coverage. Dan Egan, GMI Studios. Dan, thanks for being back with us.
Hey, Jack, how you doing today? We got snow in New Hampshire, and the spirit is right around us for the games, huh?
You know, and the question I always ask, Dan, because you're involved in a granular level. You know some of these skiers, you know the coaches, you know the programs, whether it's freestyle stuff, whether it's the bumps, the jumps, the fast stuff, the downhill, the GS, the slalom. You know this stuff. My question always is, once in a while, a certain story catches on with the American public. You know, we've had Bodie Miller of New Hampshire do some great stuff in the Olympics or come close and then hang in there and do those incredible downhill runs. Do you see the potential with some of these skiers, whether it's Shiffrin or some of the others, to really captivate America's viewing and listening interest?
Yeah, I think for sure. You know, the storylines are pretty well set for Michaela Shiffrin. One, she's going to be the sweetheart of NBC for sure. There's some talk of potential of 5 medals. I think we might see Michaela 2 to 3 medals realistically. And then, of course, you can't miss the story of Shaun White and his 5th Olympics. In his mid-30s, still on the top of the world in halfpipe, men's snowboarding halfpipe. That's a great story. But I think you are going to see some stories emerge out of freestyle skiing, freestyle slope style, and snowboard slope style. So it's there. But, of course, Michaela Shiffrin is the biggest name in skiing, and I think all eyes will be glued on her.
Dan, put in perspective just how good she is going into these games. Again, New Hampshire's had their own. Bodie Miller, World Cup, number one in the world for more than one period. We've seen the Mayer brothers before that. We've seen other great skiers. But let's put in perspective how good Michaela is.
Well, I don't think we've ever seen a skier as good as Michaela Shiffrin, period. End of story. Her winning percentage in slalom is in the high 90s. She's only not finished 2 Olympic-level international slalom courses in her entire career. One was at the Games in South Korea, and one was recently. Every time she's finished, if she didn't win, she podiumed. Phenomenal record with Michaela. The one thing that we're seeing with Michaela Shiffrin, which is just so unique, is she doesn't have to be winning every split of her run to win overall to win. So, you know, she's very calculated. She knows where she is on the course, and she's very, very focused. Of course, there's a lot of pressure around the games. She's had a lot of things happen in her personal life as well. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be something to watch for sure. And, of course, Jack, this is the 20th anniversary of the 2002 Olympics in Salt Lake City, where, of course, Bodie won his 2 silver medals. So this is a interesting time for the games. And, you know, the Salt Lake City Olympics are known as the most successful winter games in modern era. And I think the big question is, how successful will be the China Games overall, the first location to host the summer and winter games, and this time really without any fans.
Without fans and with the commentators broadcasting from Connecticut. Well, we're going to come back. I think we can hold Dan at the bottom of the hour, do one more segment on the coverage and some of the different aspects without the crowd and some of the realities. But let me go back to Michaela Shiffrin, her background. And just tell us a little bit about her, where she's from originally, and, you know, what makes her tick?
Well, she's from Vail, Colorado. She went to school here in New England at Burke Academy in Vermont. And I think what makes Michaela tick is winning. I think pressure. I think she was born and bred to be a World Cup, world-class ski racer. She has yet to really stumble on this amazing career that she's had. She's extremely focused and extremely good. She's won World Cup races in every discipline. Slalom is her specialty, but giant slalom, she's right at the top. And, you know, I really think when you have an athlete like this that people recognize early on, she's the youngest American to win an Olympic medal in skiing. I think what you just see is a machine that has been building over time. This is her third Olympics, and really there's not much to say other than sit back and watch. When you see her come to Killington every year for the World Cup, it's really amazing to see, you know, 15-plus thousand people at the bottom chanting her name. She has huge popularity.
And her health, knees and, you know, health back, everything, she's in good shape?
Well, up until this point, we haven't seen any major injuries. Of course, she has a little bit of an ailing back, but no major injuries, physically ready to rumble.
And of course, Danny, again, we've seen that kind of fearless Bodie Miller sometimes, and Michaela, and you've done this on some very tall mountains in the world where you've pointed those skis down when most people are like, you know, get a helicopter, get me off of here. Is part of that game and the focus and getting inside, all the training, all the bumps and bruises since you were a kid and all the competition, how much does the mindset matter that you're the best, you're the fastest, you're going to be the best? I mean, how much do you need that fighter pilot mindset if you were one of these folks like her?
I mean, it's 100% the whole entire game right there. That is the package. And I think when you see Michaela in the starting gate, just as when we saw Bodie in the starting gate, you're seeing a very highly focused, confident athlete. It takes, well, you couldn't do it without the unbreakable confidence of the, you know, that those two skiers have displayed over the years. Of course, Lindsey Vonn, Peekaboo Streak, and others, brought that to what they did and what they do. So I think when you see Michaela Schifrin, more than anything else, she's calculated. She's confident. It's any day she knows she is the best. And if you look at the results across the board, there's really only two or three other women that are even pushing her. So I do expect her to really stand on top.
All right, we're going to come back with more. Dan Egan, talk a little bit about the media coverage, what to expect. And, of course, the fans won't be there and the broadcasters won't be there. Dan Egan will know better how that's going to play better than anyone. But coming up next, GMI Studios, more on our Olympic coverage and a lot more on this Friday morning. Jack Heath, Corey Isles, J-Dog back in a moment. Dan Egan, still with us, GMI Studios, Olympic expert coverage. And, of course, if you know Dan of him and you know him, you know him. If you don't, Dan Egan has a place still in New Hampshire and I think out of Big Sky and really put, I think, what we call extreme skiing on the map in the Warren Miller movies and beyond. And Dan, that's been his life since he was a kid, him and his brother and his crew. That's what they do. And you love skiing. You love the Olympics. What is this one going to feel like, Dan, without the media there, without the people there?
Yeah, it's really a strange thing, Jack. The limited media that are over there have had to go weeks and weeks earlier than normal. So they're away from home quite a long time. And really, they're covering events that are really aren't going to have any, if any, spectators at all. And even last summer in Tokyo, the media was watching via their computers in Tokyo, the Olympics. So it's very strange. I think it's hardest on the athletes because athletes feed off the energy of the fans, and particularly at the games, one of the awesome things about going to the Olympics is, you know, different countries and the flags and everybody rooting for their athletes. So, you know, that's a big miss here, and I think it's going to feel, you know, empty and a little flat.
Yeah, one of our listeners, Renee Plummer, she just said that's what she loves is all the athletes coming in their coats and all that stuff and all the optics. And certainly this, these Olympics haven't really been the normal. But let's go to Shaun White. This is his fourth or fifth Olympics?
This would be his fifth Olympics.
Wow.
And, you know, I was in Switzerland a couple weeks ago when he qualified to make Team USA. And really, he did it hands down. I mean, in the first run of the halfpipe in Lax, Switzerland, he did enough to qualify for the games. Only two other snowboarders were able to beat him, and he really coasted through his second run. So it's quite a thing to you know, get into your 30s and still throw it down the way he does in the halfpipe. But the other interesting thing about Shaun White is in Sochi, he was the highest paid athlete of the entire games, and that included the NHL players. So I think he's probably right up there, if not at the top again.
Now, what about downhill in terms of the men's side or women's side? Do we have any contenders there?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, of course, Shiffrin could crack it in the women's downhill. Our top women's downhiller, Breezy Johnson, is hurt and unfortunately not at the games. She had been having a great season and unfortunately fell, I believe, in Italy about 2 weeks ago. But on the men's side, right now, Travis Ganong in the training runs is sitting in the top 20. And the other thing that's super interesting about these Olympics, Jack, is that these ski racers have not raced on these tracks at all. Normally, there's a year out, there's a test event at the Olympic venue. That didn't happen last year. So these Olympic skiers, and particularly in downhill and GS, first time on the track, it really opens it up to be anybody's game. So we could see some jumbling. We could see Travis Ganong or another American, you know, come from behind and get up on the podium. It's sort of an equal playing field because they're all learning the track in these training runs.
Dan Egan, I know you're going to be watching and covering this for many more, you know, national sources and regional. Do you think, and maybe Mikayla Shiffrin is the key here, do you think if you go 10 days, 12 days into these games that America is going to be captivated and glued to the screen, or do you think that's going to be some apathy or, you know, that people today are so distracted, things are so sort of up and down right now, people are coming out of a weird, funky 2 years. We've seen great numbers in the National Football League, the playoff games, record numbers is a great escape. Some of those games were the most watched ever. Do you think the Olympics can be a big success in that regard?
You know, I do. I'm a big believer in the Olympic movement. And I think, you know, the similarities between these games and the 2002 games, 2002 was coming off of 9/11, and the 2002 Salt Lake Games sort of was a reuniting of the international community. And there's a potential here, you know, with COVID, that this could be a unifying event, one that is really needed. I think what you see now in the Olympics is easier to view the games than ever before. With all of the online platforms, more people are tuning in than ever before to the games. So, you know, you can kind of pick and choose. You can see the events you want to see when you want to see them. And I think the games traditionally, and I still believe in this, are a uniting event. And with all the craziness that's going on in the world, I think we need one. And, you know, is it as big as football? I don't think so. But as we get further into the games, I do think people will start to hold on to it. You know, of course, women's hockey, Jack, is huge. And I think without the NHL, women's hockey could be the biggest event that people tune into.
Well, Dan, but you've glossed over maybe one of the biggest, most exhilarating, exciting, tense sporting events in the games, and that could be curling.
You know, people tune into it, and we've got a pretty good team out there, Jack.
Well, Dan Egan, I appreciate your expertise. We'll catch you again maybe on Monday, Dan Egan, of course. And if how's the new book doing?
Good. 30 years in a white haze. It's been going great. I just did a book signing in Telluride, Colorado this week, and I'm back in Big Sky now. We're doing a big event tonight, a retro movie night with legend extreme skier Scott Schmidt and myself. We're showing some of our favorite clips from the years past and the newest Warren Miller clip where we're skiing together.
Is Bodie Miller going?
Bodie's kicking around. He's going to open up Winterfest in Big Sky tonight.
How's he doing, by the way, on a serious note?
No, I think Bodie's doing great. You know, his family continues to grow, and it's great to have him part of the community here in Big Sky.
All right.
People get so excited when they see Bodie Miller. There's no doubt about it.
He's a character, to say the least, and hope he and his wife are doing well. It was a tough loss, and hope the family's growing. Thank you, Dan Egan, so much. We'll catch you Monday. Good morning, New Hampshire. GMI Studios, thanks for the home crowd. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.